Brought to you by Face to Face Games.
The first rule of Fight Club is...
We're like close clickers.
I don't even want a hashtag close clickers.
Two men are lost in the desert. They
one likes.
They start clicking each other for warmth.
Wait, can you pause on your draw step? Yeah. You. Okay, so
nice.
No. I know, right? All right, everybody. Welcome to another awesome heat-filled sand blowing
sand-filled
episode. I was going to say sand-blowing, but sand-blowing episode of Hype Club. I am always Maddie.
I'm Tony Awesome Sauce, and I have sand in unmentionable places.
I mean, once sand gets in,
it never gets out. You never get rid of all the sand.
You can never get it out. The worst thing ever was on the weekend. I had like cleaned my car. If anyone knows me, I'm super anal about having a clean car. And I spent hours like detailing it and getting it nice. And then I literally drive out of my driveway, get on the road, and a sand truck that you see in the wintertime just goes by, and a gigantic plume of dust. And I had the windows open, of course, because it was warm. And it just blows all over my car and just... I was so angry. I pulled over and I yelled at the sand. I was like, "Yeah!" I can
totally picture you doing that too. Oh man!
I just drove back. I was like, I didn't even care what I was doing. I was out to get errands. I just came home. My wife's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, don't talk to me right now. I'm just so pissed.
I have sand everywhere."
Oh, man. Sand is so hard to get out. It's such... Oh, I hate it. Okay, anyways, no one cares about sand. We care about awesome pyramids and jackal gods. That's what I want to talk
about.
It's jackals, man. We've got so much to talk about. So here's what we're going to do. You have tuned into the spoiler episode where we're going through awesome cards from Amonkhet. And what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to look at the card... See where we can play it and see what brews it fits in, and maybe, you know, talk about potential brewing in Standard, Modern, Frontier, etc., even Legacy. So let's jump in. Let's start to talk some cards.
Be prepared to go off the rails here, everyone.
Always.
Okay, well, we're just going to go newest spoilers backwards or what?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to touch on every card because some cards are like kind of...
All right.
But, oh, all right, let's talk about the first one that I think is relevant because it plays into a few other cards. Stir the Sands is not really that exciting, but I want to talk about it for a reason. So Stir the Sands is a 4-mana cost sorcery, 6-mana cost, 4/2 black, and it makes 3 2/2 zombies, okay? That's 6 power for 6, so it's a sorcery, so it's not horrendous, but you can cycle it. And when you cycle it, you make a zombie. So cycling cost is pretty damn high, like 4 mana, but whatever. The point is, Zombie Tribal, man, there is a lot of cards that I'm seeing, and I think there's a black-white zombie deck in Standard. Liliana, maybe not Stir the Sands, but I think there's a lot of, like, really interesting things that get embalmed and come back as zombies.
That's the interesting part, is the embalmed things come back as zombies.
I mean, we also got Liliana's Expertise, which is a 5-mana Wrath. It's not a Wrath. It's like a pump. So it's 3/2 black. Zombies you control get +1/+1. And when it enters the battlefield, create 2. This card's bonkers. Create 2 zombies. So I wish the cat was a zombie cat. Or there must be a way to turn the blinky cat so it can be blinking this. Because that's crazy.
Well, I mean,
crazy,
I'm sure there's a such thing as zombie cat tribal.
I'm sure that's
a thing.
Totally.
But
that's the deck. We just are not building it right.
To me, the interesting part of Stir the Sands is it's like a redux at uncommon of the cycle things that do a lesser effect. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, for limited, this card is
Sure, this is a fantastic card. Draw a card, make it 2/2. Or it's probably just 6 mana, make 6 power. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, All these, like, cycling is really weird, and I know a lot of other casts have talked about the perceived perception of this set reminds me very much of Aether Revolt, where, or not Aether Revolt, Kaladesh, where everyone's like, bah, this is an Illstrad, it's all garbage, everything sucks, energy is stupid. And there's definitely a negative tone of a lot of the set. Like, people are like, it feels underpowered, everything is silly, the aftermaths are all too expensive. But, like, when you look at this, in my head, I keep thinking about Clues. And when Clues were spoiled, we were like, who cares? This is silly. Like, what are we going to do with this? And then we find out that, oh, yeah, Clues are literally card draw, and it's amazing. So I feel like cycling is going to be the same thing.
Cycling's insane. Yeah,
cycling is going to be...
Yeah, really cycling's, good. Like, I guarantee completely underrated because it hasn't been around long enough for most players to experience both cycles. But what I do like is the cycle of these cycles. You know, the red one, Deem Unworthy, it's 5 mana for 7 damage to a creature, but it cycles for 4, and when it cycles for 4, it does 2 damage. So Shock and Draw for 4 mana is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that, you know, we're used to seeing cycling cards from Modern and Legacy that are super cheap, and, like, we've seen the most busted reaction or interactions with them. So looking at these, it's like, oh, these are too expensive. But I think that they're, like you said, there's a lot of interesting stuff. Now,
Stir the Sands is pretty dope, too, because it cycles at instant speed for a sorcery spell, too.
Oh,
yeah, so you sort of, like, unlock dual modes on this, right? You turn your 6 mana, 6 power sorcery into a 4 mana draw card, make it 2/2 at instant speed.
See, that's
so really let's good. Move. This is the most important card of the set so far.
Wow.
The Surefet Monitor.
Now, this card is previewing something we haven't seen yet. So it's basically a 6/5 for 6, so that's fine.
It's a lizard. Like, that's sweet.
I mean, Wicked Art, right?
Oh, this card looks awesome. It's uncommon, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the interesting thing. It says, when it cycles, you may search your library for a basic land card or a desert card. Put it on the battlefield, then shuffle your library. So this is actually like ramp. But the ability to find a desert card makes me super excited about speculating what are desert cards.
Like, all right. What are desert cards, Maddie? I wonder if they're like untapped dual lands that exert. Right? They add a mana of any color and don't untap, maybe.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like desert, like if we look right now, we got the cycle lands. So maybe like the opposite of those color space wise, but
that'd be so many lands though, right?
Yeah, maybe.
This set doesn't have deserts. Really... Maybe this set's just bricks. Man, I hope this set's not a brick.
Maybe it's set up. Could be. I feel like deserts, either they're going to do something like Wastes, you know, like the Wastelands, like which would be cool. So a desert taps for like colorless. And then I would imagine that there would be a desert for each color. So like imagine like we get a red desert.
Like a half a pain land with no pain?
Exactly. Well, no. So
it does like this? Waste it red for... or waste blue.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it has an effect. Ooh. So instead of like, you know, traditional desert tap to deal 1 damage, maybe the red one does something else, right? Sacrifice it to Shock. Like, I think if we have some spell ability on the land, this is amazing. Like, to fetch a land that can do something. Yeah. That's
pretty crazy. Strong.
So like maybe the white one embalms a creature. I don't know. That's probably too powerful. But, anyways, the blue part of this cycle was interesting. Visitor of Tumbling Sands, 2 mana and a blue for a 1/3 human cleric. Untapped target permanent. So, you know, we've seen this before. That has potential. 3 mana is kind of expensive. I would love this at like 1 or 2. But anytime you get to untap a permanent, you got to keep notice because we could be untapping Aetherworks Marvels. We could be untapping Sphinxes and all kinds of the crazy things that allow
time
us effects,
vault.
Right? So you want to go deep, man. You want to go deep. We can go deep. Okay, let's... could you untap Mindslaver? No, you sacrifice Mindslaver. All right, let's talk about a couple other cards because we got more of these.
There's so many of these cards that look really sweet.
right? So heaven and
I think there's supposed to be two is the middle word.
Oh, heaven two?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's loose.
Well, sure. Let's read them like that. Let's see how that goes, because these are really sweet.
Okay. Heaven to Earth. All right, so Heaven to Earth is another Aftermath split card. It's red and green. So the front half, Heaven, is basically like Windstorm. So X and a green, instant, deal X damage to target creature with
each
flying.
Creature.
That's cool. Oh, is it each creature? Okay, so that's really good. That's really good. Blue-white flyers, potentially going to be a thing. I like it. Earth part of it, a little expensive for me. It's X double red, and then it deals X damage to each creature without flying. What was that? There was a card from Lorwyn or Eventide. Was it Fire Spell?
Yeah, the three mana split with the Gruul mana.
Yeah, where what mana you cast depends on if it hit flyers or creatures. This feels like that.
Here's why this card's better in every way.
Okay.
Heaven is like actually a totally playable side. It's not something that like you always want to have, but having access to it is actually like pretty sweet. Earth is actually a playable side, being able to sweep the ground. It's in like Jund colors where you might want like a dual purpose removal spell like this, and it's also an instant and a sorcery for Delirium.
Oh yeah, definitely. I like this. I definitely like this. Like playing against Marta vehicles is really interesting, right? You know, Heaven, kill your Heart of Kieran, and then you know later, you know, Earth, blow up all your dudes that are like powering your vehicles. That's kind of cool.
This card's also, like if you look at it, Maddie, from like a design perspective, it kind of looks like that meteor hits where the impact. This one's pretty good.
No, it's really neat. I mean, I even heard that the art, because I know Proxy Guy has been experimenting, like connecting the arts together to make like one card, which holy man, he's blowing my mind with what he does. He made a mock-up of, I think it was Insult to Injury. Yep. And he made the card so it was all sideways and the art was like a single panorama. And it was so gorgeous. I just... Wizards of the Coast, please hire this man. Please. Like, what he does is so crazy. It makes me furious. But whatever. Let's keep moving. Because if I start talking about Proxy Guy, it's over. Let's talk about Pyramid of the Pantheon.
This thing's pretty sweet.
Because this is very interesting. In fact... I love that they're doing a lot of these very bizarre cards that allow us to be like, what do we do with this? Like, I like more of this. This is great. So, Pyramid of Pantheon, for one mana artifact, already ticking all the boxes, right? Two, tap, add one mana of any color to your mana pool, put a brick counter on it. So, that's kind of cool. One mana artifact comes down, powers improvise, I like it, and it taps for mana fixing. So, that's cool. Yeah, you got to sink two into it, but you get a brick counter. Now, for three... Add three mana of any one color to your mana pool. Activate this ability only if there are three or more brick counters on Pyramid of the Pantheon. So it turns into a black, reusable.
It turns into a Gilded Lotus.
Okay, Gilded Lotus. But that's very
This powerful. Card's sweet. This card is super sweet.
I don't know how we can like cheat. But I would really
you can put an extra counter on it if you have a snake in play.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you.
But it's still two activations instead of three, right? It cheats a little bit.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, like, a lot of people have been talking about, like, snakes unplayable now. And I'm like, snake wasn't just your creatures, people. It's your, it's like everything.
No, it's just creatures, artifacts, and you.
Oh, okay. Okay, well... Anyway, it's still, I think there's
snake's
a lot of
pretty
play with
risky.
Snake still. It is. Hey, you know what? Look, if you're going to play, if everyone starts playing, you know, put a minus one counter on your stuff, yeah, okay. But it depends, man. There might be a way in certain matches where you can bring it in. Like, let's say I'm playing a blue-white deck that's just not playing anything with negative counters. I want Snake in there. I think Snake isn't completely written off. Watch out for him. I think there's some trickiness there that even you can do things with minus one counters that benefit you. So, like, you can play Snake, play that, like, green mana girl, comes into play, and you can put more counters on her. I don't know. We'll see. All right, let's keep going. We got a camel here. I don't think that's very exciting. Let's talk about Doom Traveler. Oops, I mean Doom Dissenter. great throwback to the original Innistrad guys. Doom Dissenter is a one, no, two mana, 1/1 human with black, one and a black. When it dies, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. It's pretty cool. I dig it. I wish it was one mana though.
Well, now you get a 2/2 instead of a 1/1 with flying. I mean, one mana, and then it probably isn't common, but that would be sweet. A one man, one mana, 1/1 that makes it 2/2. Oh, geez, that'd be crazy. Maybe the zombie would have to come in and play tapped or something.
Yeah, these zombies don't come in and play tapped, so that's actually very relevant too. So, I like that. Why don't you read the next one, man? This one is
reduced to rubble. So two and a blue instant counter target spell unless it's a controller pays 3. So 3 mana mana leak. That's fine. That's like pretty good. Yeah and then rubble is 2 and a red. Up to 3 target lands target player controls don't untap next turn.
Yeah, let's talk about that half for a second. Because this card, to me, I read the top and I'm like, bleh, I don't want to play it. I read the second half and I'm like, I want this card on its own. Can I cut this card in half and just play that second half? Because that is like lockout. That's crazy.
The free mana leak's pretty okay. Come on.
Yeah. No, okay. I'm being too negative. It's cool. I mean, for standard, I think it's fine. Actually, I think this card is uncommon. I thought this was a rare. So this is an uncommon. I think this card is very good. Jeskai colors. I think this is a very legitimate card. I wish the second half of Rubble was an instant, but it's not. But still, the fact that I can lock you down if I'm behind, or, you know, I don't know, who knows what we're playing. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, a certain, like, three-color decks. You can lock them out of a color or two. I think this card's really powerful. Am I crazy?
I mean, the sorcery really hinders it.
An instant, it would be broken. I don't think you want to play in standard with that as an instant, do you?
Well, yeah, it would be like Mistbind Click level.
Yeah, it would be really gross, man. I feel like, you know, they keep pushing land destruction. So, like, this is very interesting, right? Like, put your sleepy lands, your lands go to sleep for a turn. I think there's some interesting stuff now. We know that there's some type of blue-based control deck brewing in standard right now. I've heard people say it's just blue-white. I've heard other people say it's blue-black. I've heard other people say it's Esper. I think there's maybe Jeskai versions in there. We've got a lot of interesting cards, man. I think this is one to watch. I think this could be a sleeper. Could be interesting. Let's move on to a card that I guess is from Theros. the Minotaur Tribal. Like, why is this in this deck? Or in this set? So we got Neheb the Worthy. One in black and a red, Minotaur Lord. He's got first strike, and other Minotaurs you control have first strike. As long as you have one or fewer cards in hand, Minotaurs get 2/+0, and when it deals combat damage, each player discards a card. Super powerful. Awesome card. I just don't know what...
I think it's in this set because it's right beside Unburden, which is also a picture of a Minotaur.
Yeah, I get that there's a Minotaur, dude. I get that there's one Minotaur, okay, alive on Amaket. It's just, what are you doing here? I mean, hopefully the rest of the set gets spoiled this week. Maybe there's a whole Minotaur.
Yeah, maybe that Minotaur should have been riding a camel.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I love it. I don't understand why. At this point in time, I don't understand why it's Minotaur. If it was anything else, obviously you can't make a humans. Humans are too powerful, but I don't know, snakes? That'd be cool. Snake Tribal looks really interesting. I just don't see the Minotaurs yet, but who knows? Maybe we're getting a Minotaur Planeswalker, and
Oh, my God. We're going to be here for 80 days. We were talking about every single card because as I'm going through them, I want to talk about every single card.
Okay, well, dude. I mean, okay, Unburden.
Can you tell me how good you think Pull from Eternities is, and I'll tell you how it's not Sphinx's Revelation, or Pull from Tomorrow.
Okay. Pull from Tomorrow? Okay, so Pull from Tomorrow is exciting. So when this card was spoiled, the one thing I remember back in the day when everyone was playing like Blue-White Sphinx's Revelation is how debilitating playing against that deck was because you would get them down to 5 or 7 and then they would Sphinx, reload, and then they would just reload, draw more Sphinxes, and you're done. So This card is not Sphinx's Rev. I understand that. The draw X cards, then discard a card, no life gain. Okay, but it's instant. So for me, I'm looking at right now, you got Kefnet, who's a great god. I think he's excellent. I think there's definitely blue-white control here. We've got white Wrath of God. Like, we've got a lot of ways to kill things in white, to de-exile things in white, and now we've got card draw in blue, and Kefnet cares about cards in your hand. You've got Glimmer of Genius. We've got blue Gear Hulks. So why I love this card is anytime I can instant draw a card is really important. The second part of this card that no one's talking about is the discard a card. If there's a blue-black control deck, if there's something in here where we embalm or get value, where we can draw cards and then discard a card like an Aftermath with more value, this card's really good. So standard, I think this card's 100% going to see play. I think it's really good. I think modern, I don't know. There are decks that want things in graveyards, so maybe. I just think it's too expensive. But I think this card's interesting. I think it's really interesting for standard and Frontier, too. Don't forget about Frontier. This card's very interesting in Frontier.
Yeah, what I like about this card is, yeah, that it's instant. It kind of, like, lets you loot a little bit. But I don't think really the decks that are playing, like, the X blue draw X cards are going to be playing, like, an embalm card. So I think the best we can hope for is some sort of second half of the Aftermath card.
Yeah, like, look at the blue and red one we just
because
saw.
Because, this doesn't Gear Hulk back, so you have to be discarding something that, like, does Gear Hulk back. So maybe this is just, like, two of in the control decks. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. Because you're not gaining the life like Sphinx's Revelation, this isn't a card that when you cast it and then cast it and then cast it, you win the game.
True. And I guess I would rather be Gear Hulk and Glimmer of Genius anyways. But
yeah, but maybe you want both of these. Maybe you want both of these, right? Like, maybe you want to be able to, like, go from 1 to 7 cards.
I mean, every time we talk about anything in blue, we always have to be talking about cat combo. Like, the cat combo is really skewing even how we're looking at cards right now, because everything I look at, even though I want to build, like, a blue-white deck that's, you know, don't put the cat combo in it,
this card's actually probably really sweet in the cat combo deck, because you'll just play back and forth and then just tap out and draw 4 cards or something.
Right? Like, if they're waiting to take out my Shaheli, they know I have it, and I'm like, I'm not going to play into that. I'm just going to draw. So, like, anytime, like, with playing Twin in Modern, you had this really great ability to just keep switching what you're doing. Am I burning you out? Am I just casting Snap Bolt, Lightning Bolt to kill you? Or am I going to Twin at any moment? So I feel like with cat combo, it's the same thing. Like, you need things to do while you're bluffing the combos coming. So anything that I can do at the end of the opponent's turn to draw cards is great. I think if we get any type of extra, like you said, anything that I can play from the graveyard, that's just bonus. So, I don't know. Let's keep going. We got another Aftermath card.
This is not Hero's Downfall. And that made me really sad. I was really hoping for Hero's Downfall, to be honest.
Well, so two things. So the card is called Never to Return, which is really nice naming, guys. It is an Aftermath card. Top half is basically 1 and 2 black, destroy target creature,
Ruinous Path,
sorcerer speed. Yeah, boring. The second half, return, is a 3 and 1. Exile target creature card from a graveyard, get a zombie. That's actually a very good card. I wish we had that. Like,
also
last set.
Sorcery speed.
Yeah, the sorcery on the card kills it. I feel like one half of this card should have been instant. Now, if they gave us actual Hero's Downfall on the top, this is just a better Hero's Downfall. Like, no one would ever play. Like, it's just upgraded because you have a free second half of the card, right? No one's really playing Ruinous Path right now. I don't know. I feel like if it was instant, this would help a great deal with the cat combo if it was instant. You know, like, if I can answer you,
New Gideon.
New Gideon. Oh boy, we have a whole segment coming, folks. We talk about that card. I don't know. This card feels to me again. This harkens back to why people are talking about this set feeling not powerful, right? Like, you look at this card and you're instantly like, I know it's in standard right now. I know it's Mardu Vehicles versus Cat Combo. This card is doing what again?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, kind of let down. Let's move on to something that looks 100 times better. Hooded Hydra. Oh, Honored Hydra. Sorry, Honored Hydra. 6 mana for 6/6 trample. So, fair value. But it's gotten bomb for 4.
I think the most important part of this card is that it is a Snake Hydra.
Yeah. Why is it a Snake Hydra? I don't know. It should have just been Snake Monster, but that's fine. It has nothing Hydra about it.
There's multiple snake heads on it.
Yeah. You know what it is? This is Wizards' new worldview where if you put wings on a creature on the art,
dragon.
It's a, if you have multiple heads, yeah, it's a Hydra. The art is awesome, though, by the way. Like, the art is so good in this set. Okay, let's talk about the new Heliod. This is the one I'm excited for. Okay, so we're going to talk about Oketra the True, the new god. 3 white legendary cat god. Double strike and indestructible 3/6.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay, yeah, 3/6
double strike. All right.
Okay, and then for 4/4 mana, she makes a 1/1 white creature token with vigilance. She can't attack or block unless you control at least 3 other creatures. Okay, that's the biggest drawback on this card. A lot of people are talking about how the gods feel much less powerful than their Theros counterparts, which I think that's a gut reaction to them. I think they are powerful. I don't know how yet that plays out in standard. And that's really what it comes down to, right? This card, though, feels like you can turn on a dime and take stuff down. So we looked at that black card that makes 3 zombies. Right? Think about that, man. If the black god has some tribal instant, it has something to do with zombies or killing stuff, I would play the black-white gods together because they really make a lot of sense, right? You're sitting there and you're you know, exiling your opponent's threats, killing stuff, and then you're waiting. You know, boom, I'm going to cast some zombies, now I'm attacking for like 3/6 double strike.
The thing that I'm like interested that. With this is... Sorry. The thing that I'm interested about this is A, it never stops being a creature. It just stops being able to attack and block. So you can like put stack enchantments on it.
Crew vehicles. Yeah,
you can. A crew vehicle is pretty sweet, but you can stack enchantments on it. So like giving this thing like +1/+0 and flying. And then being able to play or create a creature instant speed and let it attack seems really strong.
Yep.
Now the curious part is, after you've declared it as attacker and one of your creatures is removed, it's still attacking, correct? Like, it's like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's not like not becoming a new object or anything, right? So,
no. So once, if I declare attack, it's too late. You have to deal with it
and
before
attack. And if you deal
phase.
With it before attack phase, I can just make another one and then attack anyways. Yeah.
Yes. If you
this
you could do that.
This seems like the easiest one to control actually being active, whereas the 7 cards in hand you have to build your deck around it and then do nothing, which is probably okay. And then the no cards in hand. Like you could just get flooded out or like end up with like 2 spells in your hand with no targets or something, right?
Yep.
So this one seems really sweet, and like the 6 toughness is pretty strong. Like, anytime we see a creature that is like mythic rare and has more toughness than power, it tends to be very strong. So like,
you can't grasp it, you can't push.
Exactly. I mean, but like, I can go back so far as like we can go like Brimaz, Hero of Blade Hold, Ishkanah, this like,
yeah. I think also there's definitely a white humans deck. Remember, we still got Thalia for a while, so she's pumping stuff. Like, there's definitely like probably a super Tom Ross, low to the ground, white weenie deck that plays this.
Top
side
with this, yeah, sure.
Right? I mean, I know.
I mean, always watching
said,
makes this thing a beating, right? Like a 4/7 vigilant double striker.
Yeah, that's pretty good, dude. Yeah, in for 8. I mean, like, there's gonna, and obviously I play Gideon in that deck too, right? Because you know you're playing Gideon in any white deck. I think like there's definitely gonna be some play here for a while before we see Innistrad rotate. So these cards are going to be powerful right now, but there's other options that are just better. Like you still have got Avacyn. It's very hard to play anything over her at the top of the curve too. So I don't know. I think these gods are interesting. I like her over Hazoret, the pervert. I like this card a lot, man. I still like the blue card, but I could be blinded by it. Let's move on. This is an interesting one. We got an instant counterspell, man. We got Censor for one and a blue instant counter target spell unless it's controller.
So like what,
one.
Four spike?
It cycles. It cycles for one blue. This is a card I feel like I'm not as excited for. If there is a deck that, like, if I'm playing that Drake enchantment that every time I cycle I make Drakes, and I want some cheap interaction that I can also, like, potentially cycle to make birds or dragons, maybe. I feel like once Force Spike is very easy to play around, and maybe I've played a lot of cube, but, like, unless you have pressure on the board, this is
not a good card.
I mean, I don't think it's good. If it was one mana, it'd be dope.
But it is not.
But I don't think for two mana you're playing this. Why wouldn't I just play Unsubstantiate? Seems like a better card, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, even Revolutionary Rebuff, which is counter a non-artifact unless they pay two, is so easy to play around once they know you have it. So, yeah, not a fan of this card.
Okay, let's talk about the single greatest artwork on any card in the history of Magic. Okay? I'm serious.
I think I'm with you, actually. This is old school stuff.
This is very rare in Magic. Does the art of a card be humorous, beautiful, perfect match for the card, and it's just so crazy that you're just like, this is nuts. This is going to be an altar. Like, if Durf ever makes another avatar for me, I want to
Maddie,
be this
this
guy.
Should have been the okay, banner.
So talk. I know. Actually, it might be. I might go back and fix it. So let's talk about Vizier of the Menagerie.
I can't believe you pronounced that correctly.
Hey, dude, I can pronounce things.
Northern Palladian.
Okay. Yeah, well, dude, okay, you know what it is? Menagerie has got a little French in it, so, the Canadian bilingual it'd be. Okay, so three and a green. So four mana, 3/4, Naga.
Oh, you got it all right.
I know, right? okay, so let's talk about what this card actually does, because for a four mana, 3/4, Naga, I don't really care. So he says, you may look at the top card of your library. You can do this at any time, which is very weird.
Wait, Maddie, wait. I gotta look at the top card in my library.
Okay.
Yeah, Maddie, wait. I gotta look again. Yeah.
Do it again. All right. So now that that's done, you may cast the top of your card, the top card of your library, if it's a creature card. And you may spend mana as though it were mana.
That's sweet. That last part is the best part.
This card is like, it feels so expensive, but I would put it in cube. It feels so like a cube card to me. But it might just be too big. But this is cool. So it's kind of like, what? An Oracle Madaya meets Courser of Krufix for creatures meets, Oath of Nissa for creatures? Like, what a mashup
The cool part about the third line of that, you may spend mana as though or any type to cast creature spells. That includes waste now. So you can get Wingdings out of stuff. Really? Yeah, because it's not mana of any color, right? It's mana of any type.
Wow, so we could cast out Eldrazi with this. Ah, okay, I didn't see that one. Good catch on that. Okay, so as we saw with Courser in Theros Standard, that card was a house, man. That card was a house. I'm kind of upset that this Vizier does die to Fatal Push on the Extort version. Or the revolt trigger. So that's kind of like, oh, well, I guess, things do die. But this is cool. I could drop it and potentially get card advantage out of it. I dig it. I love that it fixes mana. So if I'm playing like a four-color deck, this sounds interesting.
I'm super happy that this card doesn't play with the top card of your library revealed, because that is miserable, and I don't ever really want to see that again. It's bad for coverage. It's bad for the fun and gameplay experience. It's just, it's nothing good about it. So I think this is like, I think this is like a pretty fixed version of that. It will be interesting to watch this card if it ever gets any play on coverage. Because the players will have more information than the commentators, and strange decisions will be made.
Oh, for sure, dude. This card is like gas. I mean, I'm not sure, though. We're in such a bizarre standard environment with like cat combo and vehicles, right? So you look at this card and you're like, okay, how does this go in any of these decks? Does it even go in black, green, snake? No. Like, would you? I don't even.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's a cool card. Yeah, but like the synergy of Snek is so good that, like, I don't want to draw this over anything else in the deck, man. I just want more Ballistas, more Snakes, more Gearhulks. Like, I don't want this card, which is sad. And then you look at Shaheely combo, you're like, could we go four color Shaheely? This is kind of cool. Kind of helps us find the cat when we need it. But I don't know if I want that.
The Nagas don't stack.
Maybe if there is like some really sick Naga strategy where there's a tribal snake deck, okay, there's potential there that we do something. It's just this card feels like it's either an EDH plant, a cube plant, or Wizards really didn't think Cat Combo and vehicles were going to run standard because they are. And they just, you know, we're in a dead format, man. It's a stillborn standard. All these cards are, you know, this is the other problem too. Like, everyone's down on the set, but the cards are cool. It's just the metagame isn't allowing me to play anything.
Yeah, they're already like very clearly the best options,
right? Yeah. Now let's talk about a few cards, because there's another green card that's kind of interesting. Champion of Ronus. So it is a 4-mana 3/3 Jackal Warrior. So there's all kinds of tribal stuff here.
It's
so
a that jackal. Makes,
like you said, yeah, dude, there's definitely going to be some type of tribal synergy in Almaket.
Cat Jackal Tribal.
Explosion. Hour of Devastation. There's got to be something coming there. So when you exert him, you may put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. I love back in the day, the Kithkin soldier that when he attacked, you could put a soldier onto the battlefield. So I had a whole awesome soldier deck. That was fun. So I think this card's interesting. Putting down an Ulamog, obviously, is Magic Christmas.
Or an Emrakul, right? Like, this card's pretty sweet. This card's actually pretty sweet. Even more realistically speaking, even if you just put a green gear hulk. Or if we're just gonna multi format brew here, like just Hornet Queen, you know, stuff like that is just insane. Even like a black gear hulk where you attack and then throw this thing and it smashes their creature, gains you a bunch of life, and then adds to your board, you know, like put in a reflector mage if you're playing Frontier. Like, oh man,
actually, you know what, I think like this card, maybe Green Machine 3.0 worthy.
It might be, but it's like a way to cheat in like Dungrave Elders and Thruns and stuff, right?
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to cheat in Thrun, like, but...
Yeah, I mean, Green Gearhulk just feels so
powerful.
And
what about World Spy Worm?
Like, oh. Yeah, well, I don't know what... I don't imagine what Green Machine 3.0 deck we're playing World Spy Worm in, but I'm down. I'd rather just
if you can
a
give this guy haste, then on turn 4 you can put in an Emrakul, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, this is, again, one of those cards that you just got to keep your eye on, because in the right setup, this is very cool. Like, imagine if you cored for this guy. That's really cool. You know, cored for him, or even, like, traverse the Uvenwald, get him into play, attack. Like, if you had a way to, like, give all your creatures haste, that's going to be the key. Maybe there's a green-red, I don't know, a green-red haste deck, but... I think if you're green red, you're just playing the energy deck because it's better. All right, let's. We're gonna skip some of these cards because who? Really
yeah, well, there's like the 1-mana cycling common uncommon set that like the Living End for Modern cards have been looking for. So the white ones, 3/3 Flying Vigilance for 6 mana that cycles for 1 white. There's a blue rare one that's a 4/4 for 4 with flying that cycles for 1 blue. But the interesting cards, if you want to skip down a little bit, we can go back up to Liliana because obviously she's insane. But Manglehorn. Have you read Manglehorn? And yes. Do you know why this card's insane?
I have. This card is real good. So we have needed something like this for a long time. So Manglehorn is a 3-mana 2/2 beast. So a little should have been a Minotaur. But when it should have 100% been a Minotaur. You nailed that. So when it enters the battlefield, it destroys an artifact. So that's
sweet.
Pretty cool.
I'm into
Manic
it.
Manic Vandal, right? Yeah. But this second ability, this is nuts, dude. It's basically like a Thalia here. So we get artifacts your opponent controls enter the battlefield tapped.
That's why is this really awesome, good. Maddie?
Well, it shuts down a lot. So I've been trying to brew Grixis Improvise. I do not want to play this card because it's going to screw everything that I'm trying to do up. Also, you've got all the new awesome artifacts that you know you're potentially trying to tap. Aetherworks Marvel.
Are you ready for me to blow your mind?
Stonewall here. Okay, hit me.
If you read the text on Saheeli Ray, the copies she makes are artifacts.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yes. So it does shut down the
combo. So it shuts down the combo. Puts on pressure, blows up a thing. This card's sweet. You can blink it with your own Felidar Guardian to blow up their stuff. Like,
yeah, sideboard card for sure. Like, this to me is... well, here's a question. Would you play Release the Gremlins or this?
It depends, because if you have Traverse the Uvenwald, then obviously you want Megahorn.
Right. Well, I mean, it's green. So obviously, like, we're playing some type of Naya build, maybe, or maybe even Snake. Like, this is potential I would keep in Snake in the sideboard for sure. For sure. Like, if I'm playing, imagine playing vehicles. So green, white, Snake has access to 3. I wouldn't run 4. But let's say you got 3. I board these in. Ooh, that is good, man. Oh, turn 2, Heart of Kieran. Great. My turn 3, Manglehorn.
Right.
Dead. Oh, and now next turn you're trying to bring in Scrappy Scrounger. Ooh, I'm
so
still attacking.
Good.
All right? Like, dude, and it stops them from, like, the biggest thing, like, with Authority of the Council. When things enter tapped, that was a really underplayed card, I still feel, because it does stop a lot of, like, crewing shenanigans and other things that are very interesting. Now, the tap ability, we need to talk about another card, because this other card is really, really interesting. Throne of the God Pharaoh for 2-mana legendary artifact. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent loses life equal to the number of tap creatures you control. This card
is pretty sweet.
8-whack? Dude, in 8-whack. Now, I don't know how you play this in 8-whack, because obviously the idea is this is a modern brew, and it's somewhat Frontier playable versions of it. So the idea is you flood the board with a bunch of small little dudes and smash face. Right, and use Goblin Bushwhacker to pump or Autocracy's Command and you pump your guy. This is really interesting though, because you can play this and then, you know, you attack with 3 guys, oh, take 3 more.
Yeah, I think this is sweet. The reason this is sweet is because you can use it as just like a second main burn spell. The second reason it's sweet is the art. Those bolus horns are so awesome.
Yeah,
it's
dark ritual.
Yeah, it's so cool. But the third reason this is really sweet is you can abuse this by just having a singular vehicle in play.
Of course. Here's the other thing. In Grixis Improvise, this card is nuts. So I've been trying to brew, like, as all these cards are coming in. So in Grixis Improvise, what you're trying to do is throw some artifacts down, tap them 4. You know, your demon or the blue fish thing or whatever. Anything big you're trying to cast. And then you can use Tezzeret's The Touch later on to animate it. So this card fits so perfectly into this deck. I just don't know exactly how to use it, right? I make a bunch of servos. I use my servos and my Throne of, you know, God Pharaoh here to tap, to power up, to bring in a demon. Oh, take
yep.
3? What? Like, this card's good. Later in the game, you know what? I'm just going to go for the win now. Tezzeret's Touch it. Hit you for 5.
And then take 1 because it's a creature now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's right. Take 6. Like, that's so gross, right? This card's interesting. Again, it's one of those cards I don't know exactly how we build it around. There's a lot of, like, loose synergies like that work right now. I think, like, imagine in Frontier, you got end of turn... Scour the Waste? Is that the card where it makes
secure.
X white? Yeah, Secure the Waste. So, you know, end of turn, make five guys?
Yep.
What? What? Like, that's crazy. And then the guy, and then your opponent takes five. Oh, man. There's a lot of things here that I love about this card. I think this is, again, it's probably not tier one, unless maybe Grixis and Fries like can pull it off. But it's interesting. Let's talk about Magma Spray, because we get that.
That's
back.
Amazing. I'm so happy I have it in front of you.
We got an answer for Scrappy Scranger. A clean one, too, yeah. Get out of here, Scrappy Scranger. We hate your guts. This is dope. I feel like this set has got a lot of answers to Mardu vehicles. I wouldn't even be surprised if Mardu vehicles is completely knocked off the top.
That's right? A bold statement.
Okay, I'm going to make it. Why not? I feel like when this set hits standard legality, I don't know if we get the... There should be an SCG open first, right? Usually we get coverage of the first standard with the new set. I guarantee you Mardu Vehicles does not win. In fact, I would even say that Mardu Vehicles... I'll go ahead. I'll take a bet. There won't be a Mardu Vehicles list in time.
What? There's no way. I'll bet you Brazilian steakhouse dinner.
Oh, that's a big bet.
I bet you that.
Okay, maybe not.
Okay, how many copies in the top eight? Under two? Two or one or zero?
Okay, there will definitely be less than two.
Are you willing to bet dinner on it? All right, fine. I'm into it. You heard this.
Less than two.
And we go for a nice dinner when we go. All right, yeah. We don't mess around.
All right, Dad. Okay, man, please.
Quarterly business meeting.
Yeah. Okay, what did I just do? Okay, let's get back to talking about cards. Okay, let's talk about one of the greatest cat lords ever. And I don't know how we fit this into Thundercats and Frontier. But Regal Caracal is freaking awesome.
It's so awesome.
Man. This card is so sweet. So we got a 3 and 2 white, so it's 5 mana cat, 3/3 cat lord. Other cats get 1/1 and have lifelink, and when it enters the battlefield, it creates 2 more cats.
That also have lifelink, yeah.
They don't get lifelink from the lord. They just have it. So if you were like me and your first instance was, wait a minute, a Johnny's Pride Mate gets +1/+1 every time I gain life and is a cat lord. You're like me, folks. I love you. There definitely has got to be some modern or frontier ability here to make some tribal cat deck.
There's got to be tribal cat. We do in modern. Have Mutavault.
We do. Yeah. But also we got the Blinky Cat. I mean, Felidar Guardian, I hope personally doesn't get banned. I think this card's great. Banshee.
Ooh, cat tribal. Oh, man. Really? Just copy this with Saheeli. Just put this in your cat. Man, this would be so sweet.
I didn't even think of that. Okay, we're making Saheeli cat combo.
Crazy cat lady. Yo, wee!
Cat lord lady. Dude, this is great, right? The fact that I could blink it, make 2 cats, the fact that you're getting 7 power for 5 mana. Remember Wingmate Rock? Everyone said it was trash. The card turned out to be pretty powerful. Anytime you're splitting stuff up, you got a note. Hey, we just looked at Throne of the Pharaoh God. Maybe there's a way to keep blinking cats.
This is still like way, way, way worse version of Ishkana. Like, way worse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, it's garbage compared to Ishkana,
but
for sure.
The concept's still there. And lifelink is real. Yeah.
Is no joke. Yeah, lifelink is no joke for sure. This card is just awesome. Art is awesome. Everything about this card is just, I love it. I love cards like this. Especially, you know what, in casual play, which more and more I lean towards. I love cards like this. I just want to play.
Okay, Maddie, let's talk about Lily.
Well, before we talk about Lily, let's talk about the card that may go in a lot of these like white human decks, which is
this card's really sweet.
This card is very powerful. Very, very powerful. So for 2 mana, you're getting a human warrior 3/1. So we've seen a lot of those before. But his little upsides here is what really makes some potential. So when you exert him, it gets +1/+3 and gains lifelink. So that is a hell of a boost. It's a 4/4 when I exert it. If you can put vigilance on this or always watching, this is a 4/4 for 2.
Well, if you go turn 2, Glory Bound Initiate, turn 3, always watching, you get to bash with the Baneslayer Angel.
Think about that. That's insane. That's insane. That is definitely 100% going to be tried. You know, this card is super gas. I think this card is like going to be a $5 rare minimum, maybe more.
Yeah, this card is really sweet. Yeah, this is going to go right into the humans deck. Like, I could see this. This is a card that actually gets hit by Renegade Rallier to be brought back. So that's another way to, like, put, you know, what, 6, potentially 7 power on the board on turn, you know, 3.
Yep, you got Thalia, exactly. Too.
Thalia's right? Lieutenant, still got Lieutenant. You know, Thraben Inspector is still a good card. Thalia herself is good. Yeah. So there's a giving Thalia... Heretic Cathar, always watching is pretty insane.
All right, let's talk about Lily now, because, you know, everyone's been waiting.
All right, how about the art?
The art is the best Liliana art, even with the weird foot. Hands down, any Liliana art.
What weird foot? Is there a weird foot on it?
It's just, you know what it is? When they spoiled the full version of the card, the folds of the cloth look a little weird. It's not.
Okay,
like,
good.
I looked at it anatomically. It's fine. It's a little weird, but it's fine. Let's not dwell on the art right now. Let's talk about this card, because this card is gas, especially in Zombie Tribal. So Liliana's Death's Majesty, 5 mana, starting loyalty 5. Not bad, you know? Reminds me of good old...
Gideon Jura.
So,
I guess he started at 6.
So,
my
plus
bad.
One. No, Gideon Jura was 5. Oh, no, the loyalty was 6. Okay, so plus 1, create a 2/2 zombie token, put the top 2 cards of your library
Sweet.
In your graveyard. Love it.
Very awesome.
Right? Like, great plus. Minus 3, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. That creature is
Reanimate,
also.
Reanimate, Emrah Cool. Sweet.
Dude. Yeah, anything. Reanimate Ulamog. I don't know how you're doing
honestly, even like Ishkanah or like a Goblin Dark Dwellers or... Oh, man, this card's going right in my deck.
Anything. Yeah. And then -7, destroy all non-zombies, which that is actually... Everyone is glossing over that last ability. That's only 2 pluses to get to. That's legit, dude. If you're playing this in a zombie deck with a lot of the Shadows of Innistrad zombies... The zombie lords, the embalm, or not embalm, oh my god. What the hell is the damn mechanic where the creature comes back? It's
yes.
Embalm, right? Yeah, it's embalm. Okay. Like, I think that this card, I don't think you can play a mono black deck in standard, but this card is
going
to make me.
Yeah, fun. Right? No, right? No. This is going into Jund Delirium.
Yes, I can 100% see it. But there is, I really wanted to say that the zombie tribalness of this card is super powerful. I feel like there's also an alternate build where it's mono.
Well, I mean,
maybe mono.
I mean, I just think about it this way, Maddie. Like in a deck like Jund Delirium, where you have like actually just high power creatures, where your graveyard is going to be like Tireless Tracker and Kalatas and like Ishkanah and Goblin Dark Dwellers and things like that. You play this and make a zombie, and then you chump block and reanimate something that gives you more value, and then you reanimate something that gives you more value again. So,
I mean, do we play the other Liliana in this deck as well? Yeah, you probably play like 2/2.
Yeah,
right?
Something like that, or like maybe one of the 3 mana Lily, because this one actually I think is going to be a much stronger like slam on turn 5 play, maybe make an Emrah Cool. Well, I guess we're in Frontier territory.
I mean, you can't play.
Yeah,
even in standard,
the best creature in your deck. If your deck is designed to turn on Delirium,
sure.
Then you can. I mean, with Walking Ballista, you basically just discard it to put 2 cards for Delirium in, and now with these Aftermath cards, with 2 cards, you can have Delirium set up. So if on turn 5 you just have access to a bunch of like Ishkanahs and things like that, that's really strong.
It is. It's just it always comes down to like. I believe that Jund has got enough tools to pretty much fight Marta vehicles well now. But how is it fighting Cat
right.
Combo? That's going to be the thing. Like, this card's great. It's just a little slow. Right? And, like, did Jund really have a problem with top-end power? I don't think it did.
All right.
I don't know. Like, I like the card. Like, I would 100% play this card because of what it does. Like, the grind. Like, this card almost feels like in a mirror... This card's a mirror
breaker.
Yes,
it's pretty strong.
Like I play this. I'm crushing you, man. Like, it's all about that returning value. I just feel like Gear Hulks are still so powerful. Like, the green and black Gear Hulk are just the way to crush things. And the blue one is just completely unfair when it's flashing back stuff, right?
They're really
like,
good.
I don't know how, everyone crapped on them because they're, you know, they're not as powerful as the Titans were. And yet, you know, as you start to build decks, you're like, yeah, I'm playing Gear Hulks because that's what I want to do. So, okay, let's talk about what I think could be a contender for not best one drop, red one drop ever, but definitely up there. Soulscar Mage, one mana human wizard, 1/2 with.
If it had haste, I would agree with you.
Well, then it would just be way better than Swift.
Would it be?
But let's talk. Well, yeah, would, of course it would, wouldn't it? Let's talk about this clause. If a source you control would deal non-combat damage to a creature any opponent controls, put that many 1/1 counters on it. So it turns this guy into all your damage spells are wither. This card is crazy with Walking Ballista. Like, straight up crazy.
Yeah, right? It's pretty strong. I mean, this card's pretty strong with something like a Radiant Flames or something just, you know, like lesser spells that are just, you know, one damage to each creature your opponent controls. Turning that what's the card I'm thinking of? The red one, Collective Brutality? No, not Brutality. Collective Defiance? It's got, like, two modes. One of them's, like, a bunch of damage to creatures, and then one of them is a bunch of damage to a single target. Anyways, cards like that become much more appealing, especially when, if it's two damage to each creature, the prowess on this will have this creature survive.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like There's a lot of prowess.
Like, if you play this and then Ko's Lex return, it's going to be really sweet.
Oh, yeah. That is.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. Yeah. No, this card is, like, really interesting. Again, he's a human, which is really good subtype there. There's probably a red-white humans build, too. You know, there's definitely a lot of very interesting stuff. Like, you've got, like, what is it? The insult to injury, you know, cut to ribbons. Like, there's a lot of little things that we can do to, like, pump our team and smash through. So I don't know, I feel like this is really interesting. I would keep my eye on this card. I don't know if there is we're gonna get everything to build them on a red deck, but
the art's amazing. This is, like, really, really awesome.
The art is dope. The art is insane. All right, let's talk about the card that everybody wants us to talk about, As Foretold. Because we're getting long.
I know.
There's two cards we have to talk about.
I haven't even told you about my weekend yet. This,
I know, right? Well, we could might even do a split cast. Okay, As Foretold. 3-mana enchantment. Everyone knows what it does. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a time counter on it. Once each turn, you may pay 0 rather than pay the mana cost for a spell you cast with converted cost X or less, where X is the number of time counters. So here's some broken things we can do with it. Turn 3, we play it. We Ancestral Visions for free.
That's pretty good. I like it.
Right? We can Restore Balance, which...
Restore Balance is okay. I was talking to MTG critic James Chilcott, and he was saying that he wants to go turn 2, Glimpse the Unthinkable, mill yourself for 10, turn 3, Living End. Also, and instead of having, like, a bunch of crappy cyclers, you have, like, a bunch of insanely powerful Eldrazi. So you're just living ending for, you know, like, 30 or 40 power worth of stuff.
that's going to usually win.
Because what it will be is the combo of having As Foretold and Living End in your hand in the same turn. Right? So up until that point, you can put as many cards in your graveyard as you wanted. And then you just go As Foretold, cast Living End.
Yeah, the talk I've heard about in Modern is like, the Living End decks that are already built, like, does this actually just make them more clunky?
No, but you know, the thing is, you're Living Ending for a completely different section of creatures. Like, you're not living, you're not living ending for three fours, you're living ending for, like, an Elish Norn, a Sphinx of the Steel Wind, a Gristlebrand, you know, like, a Kozilek, a Sheldred, you know what I mean? Like, and then you put all those in play on, as the turn that you cast this spell. I mean, like, that seems sweet, right? Like, you're just milling yourself with, like, breaking and entering for eight,
So you would run Spirit Guides, like, you would run all the unfair mana accelerant you can, right, in this deck, so you can drop your mill early and get this earlier.
Yeah, yeah, just why? Right? Yeah, you're just trying to like mill yourself as fast as you can, basically.
Hmm. Yeah, that's cool, man. I mean, I love some when these cards have like potential for modern impact. So, yeah. Now let's talk about Gideon.
Well, the last one that also James was talking about is the red pact of the. Oh no, this is the other one. This isn't the one where you can't lose. Oh, no, you need the Gideon. My bad. That's the Gideon combo. Sorry. Where you play Gideon, make an emblem, so you can't lose the game, then play a bunch of red packs to make 4-4 Titans.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's aggressive. Really good
too. Whoa. Oh, I didn't even think about the packs. So basically all the packs. So if you're running a Gideon deck, you can just, like, pact a negation.
Yeah, well, as long as you have the Gideon still in your upkeep, right? But, like, making 4-4 seems sweet. Like, if you go turn 3 Gideon and then play 3 Pact of the Titans, then you just, like, untap and attack for 12 or something. Well, 16 with the Gideon.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, for everyone that was hoping that, you know, Standard would be fresh and new and we'd have awesome new things, guess what? You're wrong. We're going to have Gideon for 2 years. He ain't going nowhere. He's here to stay. Let's talk about Gideon the Trials. Three mana Gideon. Already, you know, it's three mana. We have to pay attention extra hard. One mana, two white. So thank God he's two white. We get a Gideon. He starts with three loyalty, plus one. Until your next turn, prevent all damage from target permanent would deal. This is interesting. A lot of tricks you can do with this. For zero, he becomes a dude and smashes his face. For zero again, you could just make an emblem out of nowhere, and as long as you control him, you can't lose the game and your opponents can't
ridiculous.
Win. This card in Standard is going to be trouble. In Frontier, it's going to be nuts. And in Modern, it's going to be insane. Wow. Like, I don't even know. There's so many things that this impacts. It just comes down to this. If you do play this card and you zero it for the emblem, it gets bolted. So it's pretty fragile, right? Like, I don't feel
a Modern
like
is almost modern always going to be a tick up the first time.
Right. And then Modern is also really aggressive. So I tip him up. I tick him up and I don't know, I'll take out one of your dudes. But is that enough for it to survive? And that's where I feel like the speed of Modern right now, like, let's take Death Shadow Jund. Death Shadow Jund isn't really doing anything but hurting itself. It's punching itself in the face for the first couple turns. So, like, you might get this down and it might survive. Against Infinity, it's probably not surviving. Maybe you can, like, say, you know, I'll choose your Ravager. But I don't know. And then, like, Burn, I don't think this card survives at all against Burn in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it gains you three life or whatever.
It basically just counterspells a card. I don't know. When you're trying to combo off or you're trying to do something really gross with this card, this is where it shines. So in Modern, like, this is really interesting. In Standard, this card feels, again, real good, right? Because I drop it, I'll choose your Heart of Kieran, it can't hurt me, can't deal damage to me, and then I could, like, imagine you go, if you're playing Gideon, you know, turn one, whatever, turn two, Heart of Kieran, turn three, Gideon, choose your Heart of Kieran so it can't hurt me, and then I use the loyalty to crew my own Heart of Kieran.
Oh, I know, like, I talked about this, about this card with Dan Fournier, and the joke that we came up with about Standard is that it's going to be totally, totally possible to have two Gideon emblems in play in Standard at the same time. as in you're going to play the 3-mana Gideon and make an emblem, and then it's going to die, and then you're going to play the 4-mana Gideon, which also means you can't lose the game.
You're gonna have the Gideon,
the second Gideon alone already says you can't lose the game, but now you actually have an emblem that says you can't lose the game with another Gideon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, that's just so gross. Also, remember, he's human when he becomes a 4/4. Just it may not come up every time, but it is relevant. So if you're gonna build a human deck, you literally could play the guy we just spoiled that's a 4/4 lifelinker if you exert him. You could play the two Gideons. You know, that's crazy. Play Thalia. I mean,
always watching still works with planeswalkers, right? Give them vigilance.
Yep. Yeah, I would even play Heart of Kieran because crewing off of
Heart of Kieran's so insane. Like, yeah, absolutely.
So maybe Mardu vehicles morphs into this where, you know, you're just
playing. Oh, you mean it just gets better?
Yeah, well, that's my fear. Now, when I made the bet with you, it was for the old version
No, it wasn't.
Don't you dare.
You can't edit my audio track.
All right, fine. I think I'm buying you dinner next time. Man, we've got like Trials. We got the Cartouche Cycle. Oh my goodness, there's so much.
I think it's cool that the auras have like names to them now too. The one that I do want to talk about, the trial though, is the Trial of Ambition. So one in a black edict. When it enters the battlefield, target player sacrifices a creature. When a Cartouche enters the battlefield, return it to your hand. 2-mana edict. How does this compare to Oath of Liliana? A 3-mana edict that says when you have a planeswalker enter the battlefield, you get a 2/2 zombie at the end of the turn.
This card's infinitely better, and Cat can blink.
Cat can blink it, but once it's in play, its converted mana cost is irrelevant, correct?
Sure. I mean, this card feels better to me. It just does. I don't know why. And there's got to be some like ability where you're bouncing it. Like, I don't know if you're ever playing the Cartouche together with this. Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't feel like the Cartouches are particularly strong, except for the red one, maybe, instead.
All right. Can we talk about two more cards, and then that's it? Okay. Right, okay, cut cards to Ribbons.
Okay. Cards
just this card's insane. Very strong.
So
it's one in a red sorcery on the top half. Cut deals 4 damage to target creature. So we have, like, kind of a toned down roast slash fire flame slash you know solid 2-mana slash removal. It's sorcery, that's a bit of a bummer. The other half, Ribbons, is X black aftermath, played only from your graveyard, then exile it. Each opponent loses X life. So these two cards together means you get to kill any creature they play on turn 2 or turn 3, and if we're even going so far as Frontier, this kills Anafenza, which is really, really strong and important. Kills Thalia's, like, this card's really sweet. And then the back half of it, when you get to 7 mana, just says, have, an unblockable Siege Rhino. You know, like, just spend 7 mana, just gross. Dome your opponent for 5 because you played this card in your deck.
Yeah, this card is insane. Like, that second half to close a game out is very, like, you're going to be playing against this, and you're just going to be looking at it in the graveyard. Like, you better be good at math, because you're going to screw up, man. And you're going to be like, I'll just take one more damage, and then you're dead. So, like, this card's going to be 100% playable. We're going to see it in, like Mardu Vehicles.
What's going to happen, 100%. Too, is you're going to get into situations where you and your opponent are both flooding out. You know your opponent has it, so now you can't play a creature. Because if you play a creature, not only does a creature die, but then you take a bunch of damage. So that'll be pretty interesting to have, like, the bit of a standoff there.
Now, let's talk about
that was my other one. That was it.
Because this card and Walking Ballista is
Maddie, like, you turned me on to this. I'm super, super into it.
Okay, so check this out. So let's say I get a Walking Ballista on the board, and now I'm going to go for the win. So I can cast Insult, so damage can't be prevented this turn, and if a source I control would deal damage, it deals double. So why I say this is, when you get good at playing Ballista, you don't just, like, if a Ballista has 2 counters on it, think, Well, I can shoot him for two when if I ever need to. You really have to look at it like I attack for two, and then I shoot him for two. So I have four potential damage I can work with right now. If your Walking Ballista has two counters on it, that means you attack for four and shoot for four. If your Walking Ballista has five counters on it,
that's 20 damage.
Dead. That's 20 damage with just the front half of the card. Like, dude, in Sneck, that's real. Like, I have had counters, like, no problem with Snake with four or five counters. So this is a card I don't know
even
how
if, even
I
if you just spend three mana and then attack with, like, a 4-5 Snake, a 4-4 Gear Hulk, and then, like, a 3-4 Kalatas.
Dude, if there ever is a green-black Smash Your Face deck, this card's in it. Because, like, imagine I attack with a Gear Hulk.
Yeah.
That's... What? Dude, if you're Gear... Like, yes, I understand things get killed. We all understand that. Point is, though, let's say I cast Injury. My Ballista's got five counters on it. The opponent's like, I'll push your Ballista in response. Great, I'll shoot you for 10. Huh? Like... That's crazy, man. And the fact that damage can't be prevented is very interesting. That clause goes all the way back to Frontier and Modern. So pay attention to that one. That card is very interesting. It is three mana. It's a sorcery. If this was an instant, it would be
This is a really interesting
better.
Version of an overrun, and the second half of it is not irrelevant too, right? If this were just Insult as a card, it would be deemed like unplayable. It just like wouldn't be good, right?
There was
but the second half is actually has potential, and being able to, let's say in the Frontier case, no, that's not how that works anymore. This is a converted mana cost six in the graveyard, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's it doesn't work like that. Nice try, buddy.
Well, I was going to say you get to hit either half of it, but like even the fact that you have these two radically different cards on one card feels strong.
Yeah, the aftermath isn't even garbage. It's still good. You know, like I could see it being played. This card's going to see standard play for sure. Remember, Electrostatic Pummeler.
Yeah.
And this card is kind of the same thing. Anything with trample you have to pay attention to. This card's good, man. I even like on some of the like Hazoret's gotta like play into this too and to some extent. I just like Ballista because like anything that I can just keep making bigger, oh man, it's just so good. Imagine this with Cut to Ribbons. So you play like a Mardu kind of like, or maybe even just black red with Ballista. What? And maybe even improvise with some like artifacts. That's great. So I can shoot you, get double the damage. Oh, maybe I've got a leftover Cut to Ribbons in the graveyard, drain.
Nah, Maddie,
turn.
we're definitely doing Insult with Combat Celebrant where we get an extra attack step.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, I personally don't like Combat Celebrant. I think that card
If you have it with Always Watching, it just lets you send all your other stuff without him, right?
Sure. I just feel like this card is like a trap. For me, I want to see it in like a
Burning Tree deck. You know what I mean? Like in an 8-whack deck you hit this at the end and then you attack and then just kill them.
Yep. Also, like we got a cycle of like monuments that make your colored spells cheaper. We didn't even get to talk about those because like we're way over time right now. But that's another cycle that you got to pay attention to. So you know. There's a lot of cards in this set, I think, that...
Wow, we're really way over time.
We're way over. So we're gonna jump through a few quick things that we wanted to talk about. We're going to skip over our Did You Watch SCG Legacy? Because
yes,
really
I watched
good,
it so much that I played Legacy.
Yeah.
It was great.
There you go. Actually, I always crap on Legacy, but I watched it. It was really exciting. I hate Miracles. I think that deck's got to go. Top's got to get banned. I think that's crazy, but you know, I don't play Legacy and I don't have a stake in the game, so all you Legacy people can stop getting your pitchforks. If you guys want to play with it, that's fine. I wanted to talk about Morrow. He had an announcement on his Blogatog where he was acknowledging that people were getting sick of the Gatewatch as characters, and he's like, okay, we've heard you. We are stopping that. So, woohoo! Bad news, they're 2 years in the future, so we've got a few more years of the Gatewatch.
Maybe they'll all just die in the next two years.
They're not. But you know what? I love the fact that they're going to try to... The cards in the block will be new Planeswalkers. Yes, the Gatewatch will exist in the story, which I don't care. That's fine. But, you know, I feel like we were losing a lot of uniqueness to the blocks because we just kept seeing... Like, again, look, Gideon into Gideon. Like, things like this are exactly why the Gatewatch need to go on cards. They got to stop that. We need new stuff. The other thing, too, is, like, fatigue... I think character fatigue is legit and real and happening. I hope, I had a prediction. I'm not betting a second dinner on this, but I had a prediction. I had a story prediction that Gideon is going to basically see a guy get killed or about to enter a trial where he's going to be certainly killed. And Gideon takes his place, enters the trial, defeats all the gods. At the end of this, they reward him by saying, "Do you want to become one of the gods?" And the white god allows Gideon to take his place. So
you just blew my mind. We see
this was my call. And Gideon does this because he needs the power of a god to defeat Bolas. And so in Amonkhet, Gideon as a god goes head to head with Bolas and loses and dies. And then we get the setup for a return to Theros where he goes sees his dad. And that's my call on the storyline. I could be whack. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, dude, it's all there. It's all set up. I don't know if the writers are smart enough to follow this, but a death of Gideon would be great. Also, Hero's Downfall with Gideon dying on it is what everyone wants to see as a card.
Yo.
Put it in the next set and make everything better.
Yo.
I don't know. So let's talk. Vegas is coming really fast. Do you have accommodations now?
I got all booked up. I called my boy... my boy Jimmy, who owns a card shop down there, TCG Junkie, and he told me where the local spots were and where he would go, and I went there and booked a place immediately, so no problem.
Excellent. All right, we're good to go. We got.
He's
we
also
going
to take us out for steak dinner, Maddie. You missed it last time, but yeah, we're going. We got a spot, that the locals go to.
I love it. I love it. There's one silly thing I have to do because my wife is like super in love with tea right now. And she's like, "Do you know that there's the World Tea Convention going on in Vegas while you're there?" And I'm like, I swear. All right,
are we going to the
tea
convention?
So the day I arrive, I have to like take a couple hours.
Yo, I'm into it. Let's do it.
And I got to grab anything that I can for her because she is like major PO that I'm going and I'm not going to. She's like, "What? You're going to play Magic cards and there's a tea convention?" I'm like, "Sorry." So I got to figure that out. Now, we're going to wrap this episode up with a shout out to poor Killer B.
Yep.
We don't know what happened. We believe that there's a transdimensional portal or something that happened.
It got orders stuck in the maple syrup or something. Like, it was sticky.
Yeah, definitely the beavers were going wild in the back room with the soap, and I don't know what they did. They went a little heavy on the bath salts one night, and I think they got into the mats and ripped them up. But, dude, I promise you, Kevin. Your mats are shipped.
There's a little extra sweetness in the pot for you too, and not just maple syrup.
Yeah, they're just drenched in maple syrup, dried crusty old syrup. But it's coming, man. Don't worry. We will make everything right. If there's one thing we do, we do that. And I had to end this cast on one question, and that is, what the hell?
Is a desert?
Because we're what is a desert? Because we're going to a desert. Right? Amonkhet is a desert. There will be an hour of desertification.
Holy shit, they just spoiled the desert. Yes.
They did not. Okay. No way. This is too
sun scorched desert. Land desert. When sun scorched desert enters the battlefield, it deals one damage to target player. Tap, add a waste to your mana pool.
Okay, well, we got part of it right.
There's also
that
cryptic
cool.
serpent. It's a six.
Where are you seeing?
Don't worry about it.
Don't tell me your
it's,
secret.
It's mythic spoiler. Cryptic Serpent. Okay, there it is. So a 7-mana 6/5 that costs one less for each instant or sorcery in your graveyard. That's pretty dope.
That is
Grim Strider, a 4-mana 6/6 that gets -1/-1 for each card in your hand. Yeah, whatever.
Sure. That's like a weird death
and
shadow.
Sun scorched desert. A man cat walks into a desert.
Yeah, man cat walks
and burns his feet apparently.
Wow. Okay. So basically, isn't that just desert?
Yeah, it's a land desert. That just means they can do whatever they want with deserts. They're probably all going to have waste because themes. But yeah, I guess they're just like a cycle of lands that just do boring stuff. Like,
I mean, I guess I can redirect it to it.
Yeah, I guess so. Excited. If you have a, if here, how about all this? If they have Saheeli in play, you can go Atarka's command, put this land into play, instant speed.
That's actually really cool. That's awesome. Look, all I'm saying is this. They gave us a Delve Serpent. Okay, folks?
Sort of. It's like, better than that.
Dude, I know. I'm thinking Grixis. Grixis Control, man. I'm going to play this card. This card's
is
nuts.
This better than better than Zombie Fish?
No. The double blue is not.
Yeah, but it's a 6/5, so they still trade with each other, right? This one doesn't use your graveyard. It just is.
If it had flying, I would love this card. Yeah. Well, the art is odd. You know what? I sadly now look at all cards and I'm like, that card would look really good in foil.
Yo, Grim Strider looks really sweet. It's like some crazy demon with bolus horns in the desert. That's like the most nondescript thing from the set I've ever said. It's like some demon in the desert and there's bolus horns. Yeah, no guff.
Yeah, the bolus horns are a little much in this set. I disagree.
The bolus horns are the high. The bolus horns in the Soul Scar Mage and in the fire around them, like, man, the bolus horns on Throne of the God Pharaoh are in the Two Towers, like, so good.
Oh my god, this is too many horns, man. They should just call
this set
the
so
horny.
This making me so horny.
Oh,
we're gonna get in trouble.
Horn out.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There were sands and hills and rain. The first thing I met was the flowers above them.